For the next few weeks, we're having our Wednesday night refreshing is prayer school. And we're being taught some things about prayer. Amen? Anybody here arrived yet? Are we still growing and learning and enjoying the journey? I want to thank you for coming here tonight. You won't be disappointed. I want to let all the men know that we're having our breakfast of encouragement this Saturday at 8:30 a.m. So if you know a man and he needs some encouragement, send him to the Barnabas group right here on Saturday, 8:30 a.m. And it'll be a great time. Also, if you have any young people ages 12 to 18, we're having our annual summer camp between the days of August 8th through the 10th. So if you know anybody 12 to 18, our camp is free and it's always a great time. And so make plans to be there as well. And then we're going to be having a special guest at the end of July. His name is John Marola. He's a minister, went to the school that I went to. He lives out by the Pittsburgh area, and he'll be with us for our Sunday morning service. Amen. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Now this is every action has a reaction Scripture, right? He says, give and what? So if you want something given to you, what do you have to do? You have to give. And how's God going to give it to you? Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall man give into your bosom? So God will use men. Amen? For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you. So if you want a big measure returned to you, what do you have to use? A big measure. So let's pray over our tithes and offerings. Here at VCF, you can give your tithes and your offerings anytime during the service. We have a container in the back. If you make a check, make it out to VCF. Or there are envelopes in the back there. So, Father, we thank you. What a privilege it is to give unto you and to give into your kingdom, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, that you bless, you multiply, and you increase every gift and every giver. Lord, to be a giver is to share your nature. And, Lord, we just call a blessing on those. And we thank you for increase, meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We began a series last week, about 6 to 8 weeks, and I'm just entitling this, Teach Us to Pray. Amen? How many would say that you get answers to your prayers every time? Show your hands, okay? That's awesome. For those of you that didn't raise your hands, there's hope, amen? And in order for our prayers to be effective and to be powerful and to produce the results that we want, you know, we have to be taught. Everything in God's kingdom has to be taught. God uses the medium of teaching and preaching to convey his truths in his kingdom. And in Luke chapter 11, and we'll go to verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. How many know that the Lord's prayer was perfect? Amen? Jesus was praying, right? And how many know that Jesus knew how to pray? And he got results to every one of his prayers, all right? And every one of his prayers were effective. And this disciple was watching, was listening Jesus praying. And when he heard Jesus praying, he said, wow, I need to know how to pray like he's praying. He's got a hold of something. And so he made this statement. He said, teach us to pray. Now, they only, up to that point, you know, John had a lot of disciples, and John did some teaching on it. But apparently Jesus had a different level because he wanted to be taught by Jesus. Amen. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he goes on and he tells this story in verse 5. He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Okay? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. How many know that in this story, you know, it's not because this guy was his friend. It was because he was persistent. Amen? He wouldn't quit. And he wasn't going to leave until he got bread to serve his guest. And that's how we need to be in prayer. We need to be persistent and unwilling to quit. And he said in verse 9, And I say unto you, ask and it what? It shall be given you. Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be opened to you, right? But notice, you've got to do the asking, you've got to do the seeking, and you've got to do the knocking. It's all summed up in ASK. All right? For everyone that asks receives. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Did he say everyone? And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? How many fathers do you know, if a son asks for bread, say, here, chew on this rock? You know of a father that's going to do that? Okay? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Hey, you know, can I have a fried egg? Well, here's a scorpion. Why don't you chew on that? What's the point? You get what you ask for. Amen? And this is how God is. Notice what he said. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, notice this phrase, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay? Now, we talked about, if you want to have effective prayer, number one, you got to know that God hears you. Isn't that encouraging? Say, God hears me. He knows your voice, and he likes to listen to your voice. So it's important to use your voice in prayer, all right? Know that God hears you. We're not going to go over every one of these, but in Psalm 10, verses 16 to 18, it says, You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. So God hears you, all right? We talked about that last week. And then secondly, we said you have to connect with God in prayer. Amen? When you pray, you have to make a connection to God. You have to connect to his power. You have to connect to his nature. You have to connect with his spirit. And we looked at 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, and it says, And we receive from him whatever we ask because. There's a reason why people receive what they ask, and there's also reasons why people don't receive what they ask. And the reason is because we obey his commands, we follow his plans, and we do that which is pleasing to him. How many know how you live affects your prayer life? Amen? You know, you can't just live any way and expect your prayers to have power and to be effective. Okay? And we have to believe what we pray for. And you pray in the name of Jesus, and you also love people, and you abide in God. But in prayer, you make a divine connection. You know, it's like plugging a lamp into a socket. The lamp is wired, the bulb is good, all it needs is a power source. And when you plug that lamp into the outlet, you have the power you need for it to shine, okay? So we talked about that. Now, we're going to get into our next point tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. In prayer, we get to know God, and we get to pray knowing God's will. In order for your prayers to be effective, you have to know God. You have to have some knowledge of God. You have to have a relationship. And you have to go into God's presence prepared and ready to pray His will. How many know that God's will is important in your life? All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 50. Just emphasizing the importance of God's will. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So how do you know that you're a relative of Christ? If you do what? If you do His will. But in order to do His will, what do you have to have before you do His will? You have to know what His will is, right? And prayer is a place where we can know how to access the source of all good things. How many know that God is the source of all good things? But we have to know how to access it. Amen? If I had no knowledge of your bank account, could I access your account? I would have to have knowledge. I would have to know what your account number is. I would have to know what bank you use. And I would have to have your pass. I would have to steal your identity. Right? In order for you, for me to access your accounts, go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. See, in prayer, prayer is both you talking and you listening. Prayer is not when you're doing all the talking. Amen? Because if you don't allow God to speak, how are you going to know what He wants? Amen? And in John chapter 6 and verse 38, notice what Jesus said. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Let's just stop right there. What was Jesus' motive for coming to earth? He didn't want to do what He wanted to do. He didn't want to do what He thought was good. He came for the sole purpose of doing the will of Him that sent Him. And notice verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Did Jesus accomplish God's will? He knew emphatically what God's will was for His life. And His sole purpose for being on this earth was doing what God wanted, not what He wanted. And when there was a time, when there was a question, when Jesus faced His greatest trial in the garden, He made this statement. He said, not my will, but yours be done. So in prayer, if you want to pray effectively, you're going to have to know what God's will is about your situation. You're going to have to know what God's word says about your situation. Go with me to John chapter 15. John 15. This is so important to know what God's will is. Let's go down to verse 4. Jesus is talking here. And he makes a statement. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." How are you going to live a fruitful life? If you do what? If you abide, what does it mean to abide? Does it mean to visit? It means to hang out. It means to set up your home there. It means that you are forever connected to that person or that place. And here's the thing, you get to abide in him. And when you abide in him, he abides in you. There's an exchange that takes place. Abiding brings an exchange. You get his nature. You get his understanding. You get his wisdom. You get knowledge of him. As you abide in him, you get to know more about God. You get to learn about God. And then he abides in you. He's working through you. He'll do great things through you. Okay? There's so many people that doesn't abide. They just visit. Jesus went on to say, he said, "If you don't abide in me, you're cast forth as a branch and is withered." A person that doesn't abide in God will wither. What does it mean to wither? To shrivel up and die. Okay? Now look at verse 7. If, why does he say if? Because this is going to take a decision. It's not automatic. If you abide in me, and my words, plural, abide in you. Okay, you have to abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? You say, "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to come into my heart, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you." That's how you invite him in. That's how you get connected to him. You get born again, okay? But now, secondly, his words have to abide in you. Say, "I've got to memorize scripture." You've got to know God's word. If the word is abiding in you, you're going to know it. Knowing God's word is a direct result of where it abides, where it resides, where it hangs out, where it lives. Okay? Notice he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And what's going to happen? Is that not powerful? But in order for you to ask what you will and it shall be done, you've got to meet the requirements before it. If you're not abiding in God or his words aren't abiding in you, you're going to have a hit or miss it prayer. Okay? It's important for this to take place, for you to abide in him and for his words to abide in you. That is required, but when that happens, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. In other words, when that takes place, there's going to be power unleashed in your prayers. You're going to be able to pray and move mountains. You're going to be able to pray and change situations. You're going to be able to pray and you're going to be able to bring heaven down to where you are. Amen? This is how Jesus wants us to pray. But we've got to have this abiding factor. We've got to live like Jesus lived. Okay? Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, I want you to know that when the apostle, when the disciple asked Jesus to teach us to pray, Jesus did not give him a prayer. Now, we have made it into a prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus did not mean for us to parrot his words. But within that, he gave us ways to things to include in our prayer. We need to have praise. We need to hallow God. We need to give praise, honor, and reverence to God. We need to pray that God's will be done on this earth. God wants his will done on this earth, doesn't he? When God says to do something in heaven, do people doubt what he says? Is there any part of God's will not being accomplished in heaven? How does God want his will done on earth? Same way it's in heaven. No argument, no disagreement. When God says something in heaven, it's done immediately. And there's no strife, there's no darkness, and that's how God wants his will done here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. How many are confident when you pray to God? You have a confidence, an assurance. How many, you can be confident anytime you pray. How many want to be confident every time that they pray? This is how we be confident right here. This is the confidence that we have in who? So who should your confidence be in? Do you realize there are many people who have more confidence in the number of people praying for them than they do in Jesus Christ? How many know that people get very excited? 100 people are praying for me. That gets them very excited. Do you realize it doesn't matter how many people are praying for you? Because your confidence shouldn't be in people anyway. If your confidence is in people in any way, your confidence is in the wrong place. Besides, you don't know what the 100 people are praying. They might be saying, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are." You don't know. You don't know what they're praying. You may not agree with what they're praying. Your confidence needs to be in Christ. And when you're abiding in him, you'll become confident in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to know what your identity is. You're a daughter of a king. You were chosen. And guess what? You weren't chosen last. God chose you. He engrafted you into his plan. You're his own peculiar person. You must know who you are in Christ. And when you do, you will have confidence in him. Notice what it goes on to say. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? What happens when you ask according to his will? He hears you. What if you're asking against his will? He doesn't hear you. What is his will? His will is his word. Let's just take it in the natural sense. All right? When someone, let's say someone is a good planner, and they're about to leave this earth, what do they leave behind to their loved ones? A will. What does that will do? It gives them what? It gives them an inheritance. It tells them what is theirs. And that will then becomes the legal document by which they can possess those things. Without a will, you can't possess it right away, can you? But now, what do they do with the will? They have a reading of the will, right? They call you up. Every person who's written, whose name is written on that will, gets a phone call and says, "We're having a reading of the will." Why do they have a reading of the will? To let the people know who are included in the will what's theirs. God's word is his will. Okay? Did someone die? His name was Jesus, right? The will takes effect when someone dies. Because the will helps the people who are behind, because the person who dies can't take it with them. Okay? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. That when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. How do you know God hears you? Because you ask according to his will. In other words, before you ask God something, you find out what his will says about what you're about to ask. Let's say I need healing. Is there healing in God's will? Are there scriptures that talk specifically about healing? Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I am healed, right? So if I'm going to pray about healing, I've got to go to the will first. And I find out that God clearly says that his will for me is to be healed. So now I can come confidently before God because I'm praying in line with his will. See, that produces a confidence because I know that what I'm about to ask, God's going to hear me. And when God hears me, I have whatever I ask for. But it's always in line with his word. Now, there are a lot of people I know. When things come up in life, they pray. And that's good to pray. But before you pray, you should go to the word. You should find out what God says about that particular situation that you're going through or that you're experiencing or that you're facing. Get what God says about it first so that you have confidence when you pray. Let me read this scripture again. It's in entirety, these two scriptures. This is so powerful, but this is good, isn't it? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, who does the asking? We do. Guess what? Any one of us could go to God and find out what his will is. You don't have to go to me to find out what God's will is for you. You can go straight to the word and find out what God's will is for you. We all have access because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is the confidence that we have in him that, notice, if we ask. How many people automatically think they're going to get it without asking? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, well, how do you know that he hears us? Because you're asking in accordance with his will. If you know that he hears you, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's powerful, isn't it? See, in prayer, God will always point you to his word. When Jesus talks, do you know it's the word talking? Because Jesus is the word. When Jesus walked this earth, it was like the word in an earth suit. And everything that Jesus said was the word talking. That's why he could say to the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." And the man with the withered hand could listen, do what the word said to do. Because the word gave him the power to do it, and the word told him to do it, so he just simply obeyed the word. Okay, I'll stretch forth my hand. When he stretched forth his withered hand, guess what? His withered hand was no more withered. That's why when Jesus walked this earth, he could say to Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, "Lazarus, come forth." Why do you think Jesus had to use his name? Because who else who else might have been in that tomb? See, when you pray, you must be specific. Praying is like the difference between shooting a rifle and a shotgun. Or let me put it this way, it's the difference between shooting a rifle and a cannon. All right? A cannon, if it gets close, you might hit something. But a rifle takes more careful aim. And when you pray, you got to take aim at what you're praying for. But too many people close their eyes and try to do a shotgun prayer, hoping that they hit something. No, in prayer, you got to know that you hit something. You got to have a target in mind. Okay? By the way, you get what you pray for, so if you don't know what you're getting, how do you know how you're praying? I mean, if your prayer, if you don't know what God says, how do you know it's yours? How do you know that you can have that? If you don't find it in here, why did God give us his word? Why did he have 44 authors write 66 different books over a period of 1,500 years, and all talk about the same thing? Why did he do that if it wasn't important? Go with me to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. Are we learning something tonight? See, my goal is for when you pray to unleash God's power. God wants to move on this earth. And in order for God to move, he needs people that can pray. He needs people that can pray effectively. Amen? And there's no reason why we shouldn't have an answer for every one of our prayers. John chapter 14. And let's go down to verse 5. Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to go somewhere. And he said, and where I go, you know the way. And Thomas said in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. So if you know Jesus, you know the way. If you know Jesus, you know the truth. If you know Jesus, you know life. Notice, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus gives us access to the Father. That's why you have to pray in Jesus' name. It's like the key to your house does not start your car. How many has ever taken their house key and started their car with it? It doesn't work, does it? Because your house key was made for your house, not your car. Right? Certain keys work in certain places. And if you want to get access to heaven, the key to getting access to heaven is Jesus. Okay? Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from hereafter you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice. Jesus said unto him, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me? He was with Philip somewhere within 3 years. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And you say then, show us the Father? Philip didn't recognize who Jesus represented. And he was there with him, seeing the miracles, hearing the teachings. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest you then, show us the Father? Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Listen, when you pray, you've got to believe. Too many people pray hoping that something will happen, but they don't pray believing. Did you know that when you pray believing, you receive anything? Your belief is key to receiving. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. So what's going to happen if a person believes on Christ? What are they going to do that demonstrates what they believe? He that believes on me, the works that I do, what? See, when a person believes on Christ, they begin to do what Christ did. When you believe in Christ, you begin to act like Christ. You begin to talk like Christ. You begin to walk like Christ. In other words, you become Christ. Didn't Paul say, Christ in me, the hope of glory? He said, the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul did what he did because of his faith in God. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus for the first time. And when he met him, Paul's life changed. If you know Christ, your life will be different. All right? If you were an evil person before knowing Christ, you are now going to become a good person. Things are going to be different because if you believe in Christ, you're going to do what he did. Amen? That means you're going to please the Father like Christ pleased the Father. Your goal now, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. When you believe in Christ, you now have, your mindset is that you're going to do what God wants no matter what. And that's going to cause your prayers to be effective. Okay? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But what is that based on? That's based on you becoming like Christ. That's based on you knowing God's will. Because when you become like Christ, you're going to know what God's will is, right? Because Jesus came to reveal the will of the Father. When you duplicate what Jesus did, you'll get Jesus' results. How many want Jesus' results? Okay, then we got to start thinking like Jesus thought. Did you know in Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Did you know that you can think his thoughts? Say, I can think God's thoughts. I can know God's heart. You can. And that's so important in prayer. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 to 8. Now, I want you to think about this. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. What has God's power given you? Notice that pertain unto life and godliness. God's power gives you everything you need for life, your natural life, and everything you need for your spiritual life, your godliness. God's power gives you everything you need. In other words, say, I'm fully equipped. Okay? You are not lacking anything to do what God wants you to do on this earth. It's already yours. It's already been given to you. Okay? Notice this now. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through what? Through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Did you know that knowledge of God is power? Jesus said in John 17, eternal life is this, that you know. And that is the most intimate knowledge of a person that you can have between two people. To know him means there's a divine exchange taking place in your life. As you are, Christ is giving you everything you need, and you're giving to him your life. Okay? So this power that gives you everything you need for life and godliness is through the knowledge of him. So if you want to increase your power, what must you increase? You've got to increase what you know about God. You've got to increase what you know about his ways and methods of doing things. You've got to increase your knowledge about his kingdom. We sing that song, more love, more power. Well, more power means you know more, because it comes through the knowledge of him. It comes by revelation. Okay? And he says in verse 4 that you are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. By what? By the great and precious promises. Where do you find his exceeding great and precious promises? In his word. And did you know that your communication to God in prayer, God will always show you things in his word. He'll talk to you. You know when Jesus, he would teach to the public in parables? But when he was with his disciples would say, what did you mean by that? And he would reveal the meaning of the parable in the intimate setting. So just as the disciples asked Jesus what he meant through the parables, you can ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying in this scripture? What did you mean in this scripture? And he will reveal the meaning to you, and you'll have more knowledge. And the thing about the knowledge of God is you'll never get to the bottom of it. You'll never get to the place where you know everything about God. Amen? If you get there, then you're God, and you're not, and neither am I. So guess what? We're always going to be learning about God. Did you know that he said in Ephesians, he's going to take ages to tell us how much he loves us? God loves you so much that it's going to take ages for him to explain his love for you. I like that. Now, look at verse 5. Verse 5 through 7, there's things that you've got to add to your knowledge of God. Diligence, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now notice verse 8, when you add these to your faith, these are ingredients that will make your faith operate better. Okay? It'll make your faith more effective. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and what? What does it mean to abound? If these things are in you and are growing and are increasing, you ought to love your brother more today than you did yesterday. You ought to be more patient today than you were last week. Why? Your patience ought to be growing. Your brotherly kindness ought to be growing. Your love ought to be growing. If these things are in you and abound, notice what happens. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And do you realize in order to be fruitful, it has to do with our prayer life? Because John 15 has to do with our prayer life. It has to do where we abide and where we live. So in prayer, You get to know God, and you've got to pray knowing God's will. You've got to get God's will before you pray. You've got to know what God's word says before you pray. You've got to have scriptures directly relating to what you're praying for if you want to be effective in your prayers, if you want God's power to be released in your prayers. Okay? I'm going to finish with this. Well, can you take two more scriptures? Okay. Go to Jeremiah 29. All right? Jeremiah 29. And look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some versions say the plans. Do you know God's plans for you? Can you know God's plans for you? Absolutely. Where do you find out God's plans for you? In prayer. When you pray according to God's will, He hears you. And if He hears you, He's going to do what you ask, but He's also going to show you your purpose for doing what you do. He's going to reveal things to you in prayer, okay? So, God has plans for you, but do you know what they are? You might want to ask God what His plans are before you pray so that you're praying in line with what He wants to do. And in Jeremiah 33:3, when you call upon God, to call upon God is to pray. He said, I will show you things you don't know, unsearchable things you don't know. I will show you things you don't know. But He shows them to you in prayer. He shows them to you in fellowship with Him. Okay, one final scripture in Colossians. I know that that's three, but this is the last scripture, I promise. Colossians chapter 1. God even includes, when you don't know what God's will is, He has a scriptural prayer to help you find out what it is. Okay? Isn't God cool? God said He will teach you His will. How many are willing to learn? But you know, learning takes time. You got to give time to God. Prayer is not something you do when you need it. Prayer is is communication to God that you need to do every day. Everybody say every day. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Notice this. Paul is praying for the church. Who's the church? We are. So you can pray this for yourself. You can pray this for another person. I call this a scriptural prayer. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. How many people cease to pray once they've heard about something? Oh yeah, I prayed about that. Well, why'd you stop praying? Did you get the answer? Did the thing change? If you didn't get the answer and things didn't change, guess what? Your prayer keeps on going. How long should I pray? Until things change. When things change, then you can move on. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of what? His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wasn't that things we just talked about relating to prayer? Now, when you pray this prayer, here's what you should pray. Okay? Say, you don't know what to do. Say, Father, I come before you and I'm asking you to show me what to do. Now, once you pray, you can say, Lord, I thank you that I know what your will is. Because when you ask God for his will, what's he going to do? He's going to show you what his will is. Because you're asking according to his word, therefore he hears you. And when he hears you, you have whatever you ask for. Because you're praying right in line with his will. So you say, Lord, I thank you that I know what your will is. I have wisdom and understanding. I have strength to carry it out. I can please you in all things. I know what your will is. I know what I need to do, and I know when I need to do it. Why? Because I have confidence. See, when you pray according to God's will, you're going to have confidence, and now you know that God heard you, so now that you can thank him. Amen? And so, you're thanking God, I know what your will is, Father. I know what you want me to do. I know what you want me to have. I know what your plans are, because you prayed that he would fill you with the knowledge of his will. The minute you prayed it, he began filling you. Like a cream puff. You know, God takes that what do you call that thing that squeezes out the frosting? You know, the moment you pray to know God's will, he begins to squeeze out his will into your life. He begins to spread his will on you or inside of you. Amen? And when you pray that and when you thank God like it already happened, you're going to get to the point where you know exactly what to do, when to do it. Amen? And that's how to have effective prayer. So that's how you get to know God, and you pray knowing God's will. It's you know how to access the source of all good things. Amen? So next week, we're going to talk about in prayer you conform to the image of Christ. Next week, we're going to have a funeral of self. So you want to come for next week, amen? Do you know anybody that might be interested in knowing this as well? Invite them to come along, amen? So Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are leading, guiding, and directing our lives. And Father, we want to be fruitful for your kingdom. We want to produce results for you. We want to do great exploits because we love you and you love us. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're here tonight and you need some prayer, you need hands laid on you for sickness, or you need God to help you in some way, we would love the opportunity to pray for you. Is there anybody here that would say, I need prayer personally for me? I want to invite you to come up if you need prayer. Amen? Because we're in an atmosphere of prayer. And I believe that God's going to transform your prayer life. It's going to come alive. What do you need God to do for you? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this spirit of discouragement that's trying to keep Paul down, that's trying to prevent him from going beyond the normal mark and fulfilling all that God wants him to be and all that God wants him to do. Discouragement, I rebuke you. And Father, right now, I call encouragement into his heart. Father, I thank you that you are strengthening him with might in his inner man by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And Father, you're causing him to rise above. Lord, he is victorious. You have given him the victory. You have caused him to triumph in all things. He is an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I declare that he's free from discouragement. He's free from depression in the name of Jesus because he casts his cares unto you. Right now, Father, let that burden be lifted off of him. Let that weight be laid aside right now. I want you to say this. Say, I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might.
And in the power of his might.
Say, God is the strength of my life.
God is
He's my rock. He's my fortress. On him I can lean. On him I can rely. I trust in him with all my heart. He cannot fail. And he is faithful to me. Hallelujah. Those are words to fight discouragement. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, for releasing your joy to his heart. Lord, let joy come from his innermost being. Let it spring forth like a fountain. Let his joy be full, because your joy remains in him. In the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Father, for joy. Ha, ha, ha. Good, comforting joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. I thank you, Lord, for filling him right now till he overflows. Lord, keep bubbling up that joy. It's filling him, but he's not overflowing yet. Lord, let it come out. Let it come forth. You just relax in the Lord. He's the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of who?
The Lord.
Right. It's his joy. That means nothing else can interfere with it. Glory to God. Be free in Jesus' name. Anybody else? You need prayer? Want to give you an opportunity to receive prayer? Hallelujah. Need the power of God in your life to work? God is good. Amen. He loves you. What do you need?
Well, my mom died a few months ago. Connie Hess just died a few weeks ago.
So what does that mean for you? What do you need?
I need prayer for discouragement from my apartment situation. Mm. Just getting things in order and just doing stuff and knowing what to do.
The devil seems to be trying to discourage people tonight, but this is a discourage-free zone. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of discouragement that will bring people low, that will bind them and hinder them and keep them from doing what you want them to do. In the name of Jesus, I call her free right now, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your joy flows from heaven like a downpour in Jesus' name. Let joy come like a downpour in her soul. Hallelujah. Let your soul magnify the Lord. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name forever in the name of Jesus. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're being discouraged, you need to come up here right now to get free in the name of Jesus. Because discouragement will wreak havoc in your life. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Discouragement trying to come on you too?
Because of the decision today.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't look to men. We look to God. So, Father, we look beyond the situation as it is in the name of Jesus. And we look to your word right now, Father. Let your word encourage and strengthen her heart right now in Jesus' name. I bind up the spirit of discouragement from operating in her, and I cast it out in Jesus' name. And in its place will be the joy and the rejoicing of the Lord. Rejoice! And again I say rejoice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I command discouragement to leave her life in Jesus' name. Father, she needs to be free in you and free in the spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, give her the living water right now. Drink of the living water in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You trying to be discouraged?
I've been discouraged.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you seat him with Christ in heavenly places. That means you are seated above your trouble. You are seated above life's problems. You are seated in a different kingdom and a different place. The King calls you to come up with him. He made you sit together with him in heavenly places. And when you're sitting with the King, you need to enjoy the view. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that this spirit of discouragement leaves him. It leaves his mind. It leaves his body. It leaves his heart right now, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you made him free, free in Jesus' name, free to move forward, free to enjoy the life that you give him, Father, free to enjoy the blessings of God, free to enjoy the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, let life come to these bones. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise that he doesn't lose hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, fill him with your joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy that comes from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Father, the joy that he finds in your presence right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that he experiences the joy and you turn things around and discouragement is gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shift your perspective from down to up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray over this item, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing will go into this cloth and you will do great and mighty things. You will tear down the enemy's strongholds. Father, your anointing will destroy the yoke and remove the burden. And we thank you, Father, that life will go forth. Health will go forth. Strength will go forth. Deliverance will come in the name of Jesus. We anoint this cloth, Father, and we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is making you into a group of prayer warriors who know how to get a hold of their God. Glory to God. And through God, you'll do great exploits. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.